right, you're listening to Intelligent Investing with Glenn Leist. This is a two-part series, a second part here, year-end tax planning for business owners. And Glenn is here. Glenn's got Bill Baker, who is with Granite Mountain Accounting, offices in Arizona, also offices in New Mexico, GraniteMountainAccounting.com. He's an enrolled agent. And maybe we should start with that because it came up last week, enrolled agent versus CPA.
Yeah, they one of the main differences is a CPA can certify financial statements, but you know, really that's only the main difference. They both are accreditations, both have to take tests and study for, but an enrolled agent can almost do everything that a CPA can except for certify your profit and loss or your balance sheet, something like that. And that probably only takes and comes into play as your business starts to get pretty big, where you start to need those.
Well, Bill, your niche is kind of dealing with a lot of small business owners, which is still the backbone of our country, I believe.
It is the backbone of our
country. Hopefully. Continue to be.
Yeah. So, okay, last week we covered strategic year-end tax planning for business owners. Why don't you remind us why this area, I guess, Glenn, we'll start with you. Why is this so important for people?
The holidays come up. It seems like right around Thanksgiving, it's just like a blackout for the rest of the year. Everyone's like, oh, the holidays, I get it. Like I've got kids and stuff's busy and dances and whatnot and recitals and parties. But doing some strategic planning now, an ounce of prevention will give you, what is it? A pound of, how's that saying go?
I don't know.
Oh yeah. I'm blanking.
I started tuning out after Thanksgiving, to be honest with you.
But a little bit of planning now will really pay dividends in the future. And there are some things that you need to implement, if you want to, before the year end. Some specific types of retirement plans have to have funding before the year end. Certain purchases that the business does for capital investment or growing the business or renovating, investing in the company, whatever it may be, have to be done in the calendar year. So, if you look at kind of your tentative profit and loss for the year and have an idea and going, wow, I'm going to have a huge tax bill, maybe this is the year that I do want to make that purchase to kind of offset so I can depreciate some assets or whatever the case may be. Now's the time to start thinking about it, not April of next year or September of next year, because then you may have already missed your window of opportunity. And the difference between being efficient with your taxes and inefficient as a business owner can make all the difference in the world. It can make the difference from you being very profitable and you just being somewhat profitable, if that makes sense.
And it just came to me. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Well, there it came to me via Google. Yeah. if we didn't have that to look everything up, right? Well, Bill, and like I said, Bill Baker is with us with Granite Mountain Accounting. Your profession collaborates with other professionals, such as investment advisors like Glenn here, Glenn Leist. Talk about the teamwork. How does it benefit everybody around when you're working with a team of people like this?
It primarily benefits the client. It's super whenever we have a financial advisor, investment advisor, check in and say, okay, what's the tax situation looking like? Should we be converting any traditional IRAs into Roth IRAs for this client? Should they be making any contributions? Those are super helpful in terms of reducing their taxes and taking really kind of more of a long-term look. Also, bringing in attorneys from time to time are very helpful. Businesses should have a relationship with an attorney before they need him or her in relation to contracts and
retainer.
At least have a relationship something going on, relation to contracts and employee matters. And then as time goes on, estate matters, that's becoming more and more of a thing. And it's the pound of prevention, which ounce of cure?
An ounce of prevention.
It's coming to me again. Yeah. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Worth a pound of cure.
Yeah. And that probably in the legal world, it's maybe a ton of cure, having that
team around that team. You.
Yeah. And interesting enough, we just picked up an estate planning division within our company. So now we have multiple different divisions. So we're hoping to be a one-stop shop eventually where you can have that whole entire team approach. Because we've already been working with CPAs for years and working with estate planning attorneys for years. And, can we kind of start to synergize, all under one roof? So we're kind of hopefully moving towards that direction as a firm too.
And it's become so complex. It's hard, especially as a small business owner, you're not putting it in the Quicken and figuring this all out and getting it filed.
And each owner has a different objective that they want to reach.
Different situation.
They want to retire or be financially independent at 30, you know, so that's different than the fellow who's saving up to give it all to his church later on in life.
Yeah, everybody's got different goals. Yeah. Well, Glenn, what do you think is an underutilized investing tool that can benefit business owners to reduce their tax impact while being able to save, invest at the same time?
So most people have heard of a 401k, but I don't think as many people have heard of a solo 401k or an individual 401k. And that is a tool that I've been using tremendously. So how it works is you can't have any employees. So this would be perfect for a one-person shop or a husband and wife combo. And it basically has all the same benefits of a full 401k as far as contributions and deductions and all that. But it's just focused on the owners only. So you can really max out both sides of it. So I'll kind of give you a painted scenario. So say you have a solo 401k and you have two business owners and they're in their 50s and say they each pay themselves a $50,000 salary. So in that example, they would be able to contribute basically $27,000 as an employee contribution and then another $12,500 as a profit sharing or employer contribution, which they're one and the same. They own the business. So in that circumstance, they're going to get $39,500 worth of tax reduction on a $50,000 salary. And that's for each one. So you can see sometimes maxing out these programs can have tremendous tax benefits if they need to really play catch up. And the nice thing with a solo 401k is there's no funding requirements. You can fund it max 1 year and not fund it the next. There's no cost to set them up. Whereas when you do a full 401k, you have to hire what's called a third party administrator and they have to file taxes with the department or 5,500 tax returns with the IRS plus, you know, meet Department of Labor and ERISA requirements. And so there's a little bit more cost to, you know, do a full 401k. Now there's still great plans, but that solo 401k, they don't have to do the same requirements because it's just a owner only or owner and spouse.
Okay. All right. And Bill, similar question for you, I think, here. But I do want to preface that just what you said, Glenn, or really focus on, everybody is very different. The situations are different. It can be very complex. Mm-hmm. So anything we talk about here, they're examples.
Informational purpose only.
Really need to, you need to fine tune your individual situation, talk to a tax professional, talk to financial planners, all that. You need to have the whole team that Bill's been talking about for your individual situation. But Bill, similar question, I guess, what's the underutilized tax benefit or program that you see for small business owners that they're overlooking?
It is the deferred compensation element. That there are a lot of different types of plans. It's never too late to get it going. You can do it all at the end of the year. You can do it every week a little bit. You can do it monthly. There are a bunch of different time deadlines that you got to consider. December 31st is the biggest one, but there's other deadlines. And sometimes there are some programs that you could, you don't realize till next year that you could contribute to it. And there is a type of program that you can actually do that. You actually file your return.
So maybe let's break down what a deferred compensation program is for our listeners, because some of them may have heard of it, but they don't really know, if you're the small business owner, you know, how that, you know, affects them or how to implement it, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So basically what occurs is that you are able to contribute money into this savings account. Let's call it a savings account, a retirement type savings account. That contribution creates a deduction is what that does. So you keep the money, but yet you you're reducing your taxable income.
And you're going to have to pay it in the future, though, at some point. It's deferred, right?
Yeah, it's deferred. Okay. That's why we call it deferred compensation. Yeah.
But just make sure everyone knows it's not.
Yeah.
Never.
So say you're a business owner and you have just an absolutely amazing year. You may say, hey, some of this compensation I want to defer for a later part. Say you make $500,000, you're going to say, I'm going to defer $100,000 of it to, you know, kind of create this account down the road to pay me then. Well, if I understand correctly, that $100,000 is actually a contribution from the employer, or is it an employee contribution? How does that work?
Well, it depends on the type of plan. That's why I kind of generalize.
So it can vary, but the end of it is it'll have a great taxable benefit to that individual in that tax year. Now they're gonna have to pay taxes eventually down the road, but that'll be in a year where they're not making, you know, huge amazing returns or growth or profits, and they're maybe in retirement and they're in a much lower tax bracket. So that's kind of the strategy with that.
They want their pound of flesh, though, eventually. We're talking IRS. About pound of cure, pound of flesh.
right.
At some point,
the basic tax strategy is always defer income accelerate deductions. Okay. That's it. Bottom line.
And one more point on this, deadlines coming up. Obviously, December 31st is a big one for, mm-hmm. for a lot of stuff, correct?
Yeah.
Is there another? I know, and then in April, you have like funding deadlines. Is that correct?
Yeah, for
where you can contribute.
Yeah, for like your traditional IRAs and SEP IRAs, you can fund all the way up till April 15th and or your tax filing deadline extension. So
okay.
if you file an extension, sometimes you, depending on the situation, you may get a little bit more time to fund. And then on the employer side, you have September 15th to fund any kind of profit sharing. So in that 401k scenario I gave, that employee contribution has to be done by December 31st of that calendar year. But the employer contribution can be all the way up until September of the next year. Why? Because in order to calculate a profit sharing, you have to end the year.
Know what you made, know what it was.
Yeah, so they give you a little bit of time to kind of do that component of it as well. So
you still got time. Yeah, I was thinking September that we just passed. Okay.
I would also give a plug for the folks here in Arizona. We have a number of Arizona tax credits that are unique to Arizona, and there's the school tax credit, mm-hmm. there's the private tuition tax credit, there's the you can give to the
working poor.
Well, that's what they used to call it.
They used to call it.
Now it's called. Yeah. They don't call it that anymore.
They changed it.
But that's correct. So the food kitchen, the Flagstaff Family Food Center.
Yeah.
I believe the Salvation Army. There's a number of charities that
you can guide where the money goes.
Yeah. And my understanding is
not guide where the money goes. You don't.
Well, versus sending it to the legislature.
Correct.
It can go to the school or to the soup kitchen or something like that. Yeah.
So say you have a $1,000 tax bill and that particular, charity, you can send $400. You'd write a check directly to that charity. They would get the $400 and your tax bill would now be $600, if I'm understanding it correctly.
Yeah, just like
you get to decide where it goes, but you are the one that writes the check.
Lots of questions. Okay. If someone wants to talk with you, Glenn, they should give you a call, 928-225-2474. Also email. Glenn's happy to do a free, no obligation consultation anytime. Yeah. And Intelligent Investing. At WTWealthManagement.com. That's Intelligent Investing at WTWealthManagement.com. All right, a lot more to come. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Intelligent Investing with Glenn Liest. Give Glenn a call right now at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. More Intelligent Investing with Glenn Liest when we come back. Welcome back to Intelligent Investing with Glenn Liest. We're here with Bill Baker, who is an enrolled agent, and we're talking, obviously, year-end tax planning. We could probably do 18. We could do more shows than time we have left in the year for when it comes to tax planning, Glenn.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Glenn. How has investing in your accounting and tax knowledge benefited you over the past few years?
Well, I'd say I'll first start on the personal side. I kind of had to start learning how to do some of the things because I was a business owner and I went from a sole proprietor to an LLC, and that was just something I needed to do. So the big three financial documents that most businesses have to become proficient at doing is your profit and loss, your balance sheet, and your income statement. And they're not as scary as they look or seem. And once you kind of understand what each area is and how to calculate it and what not to do, they become a little bit more feasible. So I do my profit and loss every quarter, sometimes every month, just to kind of keep a pulse, because then I can see what my potential tax liability might be before I even give Bill a call. I can kind of say, oh, here's kind of a basic idea, and get a kind of handle on that. And then also from the standpoint of SBA and lending, if you're going to need those statements to submit to your small business administration or a lender to potentially get corporate lending, which I'm actually in the process of looking at some options right now with the small business administration, is I kind of gave them all my financial documents, all my information. They kicked it all out to all the providers and they said, okay, we got a lender that'll come back and give you X amount of your revenue per year as a loan. And for me, that's a lot more inexpensive than some of the other options I looked at from the corporation side.
Yeah. Bill, when it comes to tax professionals, there's a wide variety. And you hear these phrases like my tax person, he's conservative or she's conservative or they're aggressive. I guess, what does that mean? And can you give us a better understanding on why there's such a vast spectrum of tax professionals out there?
Sure, sure. So first off, the tax code is the tax code. I mean, it's what it says, right? All tax practitioners are governed by something called Circular 230. And within Circular 230 is a whole bunch of rules that we have to operate by or live by as tax practitioners. And then in addition, every year we're required to take ethics courses, and those tell us how we're supposed to operate and govern. I have noticed that in our profession, there's an engagement letter. Mm-hmm. And okay. In the engagement letter, it specifies the scope of the what we're going to do. And everyone that I've read says that if there's a judgment to be made, we're going to make the judgment in favor of the client, not the IRS. So if there's some kind of deduction, we go, okay, should this, how does this work? We look for the most favorable outcome for the client, not for the IRS. Hmm. But that's because we have that relationship. I mean, okay. That responsibility. What you're probably looking at is the amount of work required to make something happen. So that's the difference, really. There's a lot of work in making getting money moved from one type of business or one type of an account to another type of an account to accomplish things. So anyway, there's quite a range. There is.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen that too, where in that same example, not to knock on H&R Block, but say you just have a person that's really focused on volume. You know, they just want to get as many tax returns done as possible and hopefully as simple as possible. And we've all probably been to that doctor that, you know, you go to sit in and see the doctor and they got a patient every 15 minutes and they're just kind of seeing like, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 patients a day. Yeah. And then there's the other doctor you went to that says, hey, I'm going to spend 2 hours with you just learning your situation, really coming up with a comprehensive plan, going the extra mile. Now you're going to pay a little bit more for that, you know, that in-depth, you know, attention. But as far as taxes, it will pay, in my opinion, just great dividends as far as the service that you get and potentially bottom line of what you owe in taxes too. So I think that's maybe where we get that phrase, you know, conservative or aggressive, is based on the amount of work that they're going to be putting in on behalf of the client.
Okay. So. Well, is that one of the things that's changed for you, Glenn, over the years? And maybe talk about, when it comes to taxes, kind of your point of view, how it's changed over the years as your business has mm-hmm. grown and evolved.
I never liked taxes to begin with. They were kind of overwhelming and scary. And it's still on the top five list of my wife's fears is the IRS, you know.
IRS, public
like,
speaking.
You know, like not snakes, not like not tornadoes snakes. Or King Kong. IRS. But yeah. I guess my knowledge has changed because I've got a little bit more information and I've invested my knowledge in the area and I have gained a little bit more comfort level to say, okay, this is realistically what it looks like. Here are the penalties if I don't. And it just helps me be more comfortable in that space. And then seeing the value of working with a professional in that area saying, hey, I really can't do this alone at all. I need to have a professional that does all this. And being able to even look at clients to say, okay, here's your needs. This CPA really focuses, or this tax person really works well in this box, or hey, this person really needs some complicated stuff done. You know, that's something that definitely, you know, this person can help with, like something like Bill. So yeah. I think knowing how to direct each business owner or a person to the right fit, if you will, for tax professionals has also been something that I've grown over
the years. Well, and you mentioned the big box tax return people before. Sure. That might be great when you have a W-2 and you're just doing something simple versus Bill, who specializes in small businesses mm-hmm. and much more complicated tax returns.
Right.
Then
those facts and circumstances are unique to
each. Yeah, absolutely. Let me just ask you, because you've been doing this for a long time as an enrolled agent. How has your view and outlook changed on kind of taxes and tax code? I mean, from when you started.
Yeah. So the tax code has become more and more convoluted and ominous and oppressive. And one of the things that I've observed more and more is that the tax code is used to by Congress and the state legislators to manipulate behavior. And I just personally find that offensive. I appreciate that they need taxes to operate the government, mm-hmm. but the whole manipulation of the population seems to irritate me personally.
Yeah.
Anyway, and just the whole complicated part of it.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think that's right, but that's a,
A couple more shows.
That's like over 10,000 pages, the tax code. I mean, yeah. Imagine that in a book.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a big book.
87,000 agents, things like that. Well, let's end with this and maybe get both of your takes here. We're with Bill Baker and Glenn, I'll start with you. Kind of a fun question to kind of wrap things up. Why do you think people have a fear like Bill is saying, or like you said, with the IRS? And is it justified or is it over exaggerated? We've heard a lot about the 87,000 new IRS mm-hmm. agents coming online.
Oh, that's should we all be terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, talk about that a bit.
And I think it's just on the surface, 87,000 new agents sounds a little bit scary. But then if you peel back the layers and go, okay, well, wait, what exactly are those people doing? Are they all just for enforcement and knocking on people's doors and checking their, you know, wallets to make sure they pay their taxes? Or are they just backfilling positions of people that were retiring and they're underfunded to begin with? I think having some more knowledge about what, you know, challenging your perceptions. So I think sometimes the fears can be justified, like, oh, yeah, I get it. You know, I would see that as being alarming on the surface, but let's maybe peel back the layers and make sure we have a good understanding. So, but yeah, the IRS is, if you get on their bad side, they can do a lot. They can freeze your assets. They can garnish wages. They can throw you in the, you know, penitentiary.
Slammer.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say slammer.
Yeah, but that's an old term. Yeah. Well, Bill, and I think that as a small business owner, like myself, like Glenn, like many others, and like many of your clients, you might be a sole operator or you might have a few employees and you have a certain amount of resources. But when you hear the IRS and a complicated tax code and, you know, you're trying to run your business at the same time and they have virtually unlimited resources, that's a scary thing.
It's a legitimate problem. And being a government agency, they really have, there's no recourse. They can make a mistake mm-hmm. and you have the consequences of that mistake. Mm-hmm. And there's really no recourse to that.
Oops.
Sorry. We didn't mean
it. It cost you $100,000 in legal you know, accounting fees.
Oops. All that stuff. Yeah. Or just flat out take your money. So the good news is really only thing the IRS wants is your money. So that's really it. Bottom line, give them all your money and that's it. They'll go away. But I don't take that flippantly because I know it really represents the hard work folks do.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yep. So this 87,000 agents is a real deal that they're going to try to do. And it's for enforcement. Mm-hmm. Now, enforcement isn't knocking on your door necessarily. It seems it has a lot to do with, computers and programs, and they have more ways to enforce than mm-hmm. than just knocking on the door. So knowing that, what I'm reminding folks is that we have a business, we operate like a business. So operate like a business. It'll be fine. Keep your documentation.
Yes.
You keep all your money in your business account for business and mm-hmm. then move it to your personal and then spend it over there on Disneyland or wherever you're doing. Mm-hmm. So keep your documentation, operate like a business, have a plan.
Okay. Yeah. You want to learn more about Bill Baker?
Sure.
GraniteMountainAccounting.com mm-hmm. and he'll talk with you about all this stuff, complicated stuff.
Yeah. If you also call me and do an appointment and that makes sense to have a, you know, get connected, happy to do that as well. Like I said, I got connected with Bill actually through, a client of mine years ago. I kept, you know, having to interact with Bill and I was like, you know, this is kind of, I know, let me talk to him a little bit more. I'm kind of intrigued. So history ever since. So yeah.
All right. Lots of information there. You can listen back, look up Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least on your favorite podcast provider. Like Glenn said, give him a call 928-225-2474 or go email him intelligentinvesting@wtwealthmanagement.com. Bill, Glenn, it's been fun. Taxes are always fun. We'll be back here next week. Thank you guys.
Yep,
see you soon. The following has been paid programming brought to you by WT Wealth Management. Nothing we've discussed should be considered as investment advice. This conversation was for informational purposes only. Please do your own research and speak to an investment advisor or financial planner before making any investment decisions.